Hi everyone, welcome to the final episode of Arch Conversation Season 12. Today, for the big finale, I got with me a few friends to sit here with some alcohol and some colored pencils, although we don't know what we're gonna do yet. The overarching theme is still balance, and I guess we're gonna get a little bit tipsy today. It was actually Chewy's idea a while ago, but he forgot.
Really?
Yes. To have this tipsy podcast with this panel of people. It was all his words, but he obviously forgot.
Again.
She can be my witness.
Okay. Okay.
Where were you guys?
At the Solomon event where you were also there.
Oh.
Yes. Around.
Also forgot.
Also forgot.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's part of aging. So on the theme of balance, I guess getting tipsy is a bit unbalanced. That's the best balance. And so we're here to talk about, I guess, we all work in different industries, but somewhat converging, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Creative. but also just to talk a little bit about balancing passion versus making money. Because we all need money, but sometimes I feel as artists, it's hard to find that balance. Mm-hmm. Okay, to start off, Tiffany, yeah. The actual artist who, I mean, you know, has an idea. Okay, yeah. Tiffany. Okay.
So we're going to be doing a live contour drawing or a portrait of each of us. That's just going to be the practice we're doing while someone asks a question.
So what is your idea of balancing money and work? As in like passion in your work versus making money. So some jobs obviously is...
I feel...
Can you start drawing?
Yeah. I cannot talk.
This is
intense.
That's the balance.
I think... I started my work because of passion, therefore it grew into a business, and that is still something I'm trying to find, a great balance between work and passion.
Okay.
I hope that's right.
It's something that I do not have yet. I would like to find that balance. So I think this podcast, one of the things that and all these loose drawings are one of the things that I'm trying to do to loosen myself up and to find passion in my work right now.
Okay.
Mark,
you're done.
Done.
That's
so fast.
No, from the
side view.
Oh.
What's the question? I think for me, is I can only do the things that I like to do.
Whoa.
Oh, which is great. That's a great answer.
I can only do the things that I like to do, and I cannot be in a place where I don't necessarily want to be.
So you sacrifice money, you rather sacrifice money and do something you like.
No, it's not necessarily a sacrifice because if you do it long enough, people gravitate towards what you, your expression, right?
Right.
You express yourself in a way and people gravitate towards it and they want to be part of that same
amazing
energy.
But my God.
And you end up getting paid for that expression.
I think that's great because I think that's
beautiful.
What you see.
But that's what some people want, but do you think everyone gets it? Not everyone gets it.
She's been in industry so long.
I know that's the thing.
20 years.
Yeah, we know that's the thing. But
yeah.
Now you can do it. But you think that's what everyone can
no,
do.
No, that's wrong.
It.
I have always been doing it.
Yeah, which is great.
I've never sacrificed.
Which is great.
Nope.
But do you think you're one of the rare few who gets it?
I'm blessed.
Yeah.
But I cannot do the flip side. I can't.
Which is great.
I can't.
That's what everyone wants, right?
Physically can't, but I feel that a lot of people can. Do something that they don't like to do. They go through it.
Yeah.
They go through it. Yeah.
Sadly, that's most people, right?
Yeah. Mm. So if I can't, I only have one choice, which is to do what I like to do.
Yeah.
And I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't care whether it pays or not.
Yeah.
And it ended up feeding me for the last 20 years.
What if it doesn't?
Wait, what
can't say it now?
I know what you do, but a lot of people don't know what you do. So what do you do?
In a nutshell, I paint sneakers for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than that already, lot. So
yeah.
After that,
I mean, it evolved. So it started off with painting a pair of shoes. I always say I caught a glimpse of the future of what sneakers will look like today. I started painting it, and it has been my livelihood since 2003, 20 years ago.
Sabotage.
Yeah, that's right. My brand name is Sabotage. I'm better known as Mr. Sabotage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Tiff started off.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Started
off.
Stand.
Sore. Yeah, Marburg.
No, I think I was fortunate. Okay, so I started off, if we really go to that, to start, I started off studying fine art.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried going into it, but I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Back then, I was lucky enough. I didn't enjoy it because, you know,
yeah.
Very shishy, I just, like, cannot relate to these people. I feel like every time I talk to them, it's not real. But anyway, that was my personal experience. Obviously, no hate to whatever fine artists and stuff. But I was lucky enough to just have friends who were in the illustration art-ish industry.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it was different. There were more exhibitions where illustrators come together and just show something.
Ooh.
Just fun, right?
Yeah.
And I was into the fine art illustration type where you illustrate, but then you get to go in galleries.
Mm.
And then since then, I was also fortunate enough, again, blessed to have met some people who led me into and held my hand as I go into the commercial realm. And then it's been like, what, 10 years? And then it's been so commercial that now, talking about balancing, I have been in this weird space where I'm like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. I hate everything I do because it's all... I'm like the complete opposite. Which is why I wanted this conversation would be good for me.
Ah.
Too, because I was like,
it's the opposite of him.
Amazing.
I can't say it. It's a free space now. A lot of times I'm just like,
not the opposite.
I'm not happy because one, a lot of them give me timelines. The timelines are so short. Literally, Leonard just showed me this piece that his brother-in-law did and he took him like a year to do it. I'm like, I do not have that luxury of time. Most clients are like,
2 weeks,
can you do it? Yeah, and I'm like, how am I supposed to do something good for you that I will feel good
about it as well?
Like, I can do it for you, but then I might not be proud of it. And a lot of times, I'm actually not, which sucks.
Do you work alone?
Most times, yes, but if that the bigger murals and stuff, usually I do get help.
One or two assistants. People,
yeah.
Oh, assistants.
They do help, yeah. But more like assistants.
But I feel like the timeline thing is not just for you. Like, even for us when we do interiors,
yeah.
There is a fixed timeline because your rent is going to start or like, you know, you need to move out of a space and move to another space.
Mm.
So sometimes we are told to design spaces in 2 weeks. And this, your space is permanent, yeah? Like years, right? You sign tenancy, 2 weeks. From the time you design to the time all technical drawings are out. So it is an issue everywhere. Lah. I feel like Mark is in a space where he's like an artist. You go to him for this look or you understand his work already.
Yeah.
But I think you may have to like dial it back to the past when you were starting out, how did you get your name out there to become what it is today, you know?
I think...
Please, like the forgotten child.
This one?
But yeah,
I'm listening.
Okay, the difference very quickly is that I would like to be an artist at some point, but I'm not.
I always think
I
that
like
you
we are.
Are
designers.
Yeah, I think so too.
We are illustrators and designers. So we are in the realm where we are answering to clients' proposal, but you're answering to yourself, which is great.
That's like...
I want to correct you because I feel that I'm a designer, not an artist.
Really?
I stray away from being an artist into a balance between doing my own art. And I only did it for a few years and I feel that that look is kind of solidified.
Yeah.
And people just keep coming and I formed this design language, this visual language that people come to me for, and now I'm using that visual language to serve and do design for people.
Mm.
Right.
So it's a bit of both.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I think for her, right, the advice would then be you need to find your what you like. See, because he always had his own style, so to speak.
Yeah. No, that's my issue now. Because like back then when I had a style, when I drew what I wanted to, it was like, what, 15 years ago?
Ah.
And I've grown 15 years and I'm like, I believe I'm a different person now.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't know what I like anymore.
Then how do you maintain?
Yeah, right. How do you maintain? Do you think you're the same 20 years ago?
Your signature
No,
style?
Very. I'm very different. Like the signature style has given me enough jobs, but honestly, sometimes I'm sick of it. So the balance is that, hey, actually, I can do this kind of easy and it just pays, right? And it's also a reflection of my old style, which I don't mind doing. But I do little tweaks along the way to drop hints about my new thing.
Okay.
And then slowly it just evolves gradually because your clients will be slower than you.
Correct.
Right? They'll always be slow.
And it's a lot of education. You always have to teach them like, oh, this is me, but like I don't do the same as that. And
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they go, they just like, I want what I want.
Yeah, they want what they want. And then...
Okay, let's not neglect now my brother
Do you think you were the same before and now?
I think not definitely. But I feel like if you want to talk about, you know, the first question where Steph asked...
See, not his first question entirely.
Ooh. Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
Three more.
No, so to start whether you want to start off as...
I don't feel too good.
...with, like, money or, like, passion.
Yeah.
Mm.
And, you know, Mark talks about being blessed. And we have always have this conversation.
Blessed, bro.
I think the blessed or whatever you want, you manifest, right?
Yeah.
I think when you work hard enough for your passion... As much, you know, as much as people think you're lucky, you're actually not. It's because of your work that you put in, like, you want to be good at what you do. That's why you work really hard at it.
Yeah.
Even though it's your passion, it might not pay in the beginning.
Yeah.
But eventually, when you get paid and be like, wow, this guy damn lucky, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's fine. Like now, I'm like, lucky lah.
Lucky lah. Whatever you say lah.
You can say I'm blessed or lucky, whatever. Like Mark says he's blessed, right? But part of the blessing is also his hard work.
Well, of course.
That he believes in, like he put in so much. But of course, from outside looking in, they'll always say, lucky lah.
But there's also some haters, right? Or like they're jealous or people who are insecure about where you're at versus where you are.
Of course.
And I feel like a lot of people who kind of maybe were there with you when you were younger and then you became this person, but they're still stuck in that mentality. A lot of those people will turn up being your haters. Even if in front of you, they're very nice and behind your back. But they're all sorts. I guess now with the podcast has turned into the language of growth.
I mean, from the balance, you get the growth,
You know? Balancing, like when you were young and you were allowed to be more free as compared to now as adults where you need the money, I feel like that's the balance, right? Which is why I asked, were you the same back then? Because back then, what I liked was also different. And then back then, it's fine, you know, I just do these things and I drew like all these dark things that I'm not into now. Like, I drew like dark things and like scary things, but like, I'm not into it now. But then if I did that, I wouldn't be doing commercial jobs because which company wants to pay me to draw like a skull?
No, but you can't say that.
No.
You can't say that. I think that's back to what he's saying.
No.
Like, no, I don't believe that. I believe that in our in this generation currently where we're at, any form of art is well respected compared to the past, actually.
That's also true.
It's more well received than before. Last time like those like very obscure things, nobody will be.
Yeah, no.
Like, Anarchy, no, don't do that.
But, now. But I feel like in the 10 years, I wouldn't have done that in the last 8 years maybe. And then now is better. I feel like people are more accepting now.
Yeah.
For sure they
still
are.
Really? Like when you said skull.
No, not skull.
Like,
just
skull.
You said
anarchy.
I always work.
I always use the A symbol. Then like, I keep getting bones.
You get people push back.
Yeah.
Really?
But it's too commercial. Is it? This one we are.
No, but like,
they say cannot.
Cannot. We say we cannot.
Clients.
Clients.
Yes.
They're a bit more open. Depends on the brand.
Even my Arabic logo is quite sensitive now. So everything I do is like, wow, I'm like going against the current all the time. I'm trying to educate.
Salmon swimming upstream.
Yeah. Yes, upstream.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's where you get strength, right?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, a lot of muscle. Right? Yeah, no worries. Easy.
That's why I said to her, like, I think you really need to find what your own language is and keep going for that. But I think that's where she's also lost.
Yeah. Mm. That's where I'm lost now because it's been so long since I discovered my language or I did. I practice my language.
Yes.
Okay, wait, I want to go back to that. So talking about like what clients allow you to do and what you know what you actually want to do, how do you then find that balance? All of us, all of you. Yeah.
Mm, have a pocket full of tricks. You have like 6 options, man. You know, you go presenting your favorite one. And then you have like 6 more that you like.
1B, 1C.
Yes.
Right?
I usually have 2.
Yeah, 2.
I really hard sell the one I like.
Of course.
Now everyone knows. They'll be like, Steph, please show me the second option first.
But you know, another thing that I think, like you were asking me, was I like, you know, different from, of course.
Yeah.
So one thing I learned, I mean, the growth, but also finding a balance is the emotion part, which I always talk to Mark also. As in, as I get older, I detach my negative emotion from my work. You understand?
Yes.
So meaning I don't. So meaning I don't get affected emotionally when you say, for example, it's like it's fucked up your work or like I don't like your option.
Back then,
it's like what this is such a big. We as creators, right? You always push. You think your best option. You're like you should take this option. They're like no. And back then I would get so.
That's actually affected.
And I would think, or maybe you lose out a job to somebody you think, what, that guy got the job over me?
Yeah.
You know, back then, I mean, I would get so affected, like, come on, like, but now I just alternate delete and have a beer, like, and the emotion is gone. Yeah, correct.
For
the emotion.
Real.
Yeah,
But you need to bitch with your friend.
You need to let it go.
You need to have one friend, you can bitch, then. Like, make sure just your friend is, like, positive.
Yeah. Like, that's lah.
So every week, we balance.
Debrief.
Debrief, play ball, and then debrief. And then, like, okay, this one, delete. This one, delete. Okay, focus on the...
Yeah, and I don't feel... I won't bring home the emotion anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I won't go back and like, I would tell my wife, wow, you know,
I still bring home.
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
I still bring home. But like, it doesn't bother me as much anymore.
Yeah. Oh, it hurts me, you know, I cry on.
You know, that's why that is something I think from you were saying, like, I started 205, right?
Yeah.
I think the finding the balance of emotion,
I think that's my body.
Is the highest form of wisdom.
It is.
I always tell him, like, God. That, yeah, that is like, and that keeps me, why you guys look at me always smiling. Mm. I'm positive like that because I always purge all my negative feelings out. Like, true, whatever, lah, play basketball, talk about
detox,
whatever. But after that, I'm okay. Tomorrow is a brand new day.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck about whatever I lose. Like,
I think I'm on that. I'm learning that. Mm. Like, really learning it through a lot of, like, every client surely has something with you during the project, after whatever.
Yeah.
And they will say very nasty things, especially when they're angry.
Yes,
they need to, like, you know, arrow somebody. And I'm always that middleman, right? Between, like, whatever, our supplier, clients, and, like, in the beginning, it was way harder. I took it so hard and all that. And I'm trying to learn that. I mean, the purge, yes, for sure. Still have to exercise. Still have to whatever.
You do, you do what you do, correct.
But, like, to still just not care about what they say is so hard for me.
You know, actually, the biggest deterrent is your ego.
It really
your own ego, not a competition between you and that person. Mm. It's more so of your internal ego, like, what can I lose to the guy, for example, you know? It's like, like a sports, like, how can I lose to a lousy runner when I run every day? You know, you feel like, I should be fitter than Chewy, but he outruns me, cannot be, man.
Right.
So I think that is probably the thing that we need to overcome, especially when you need to have that calm mind or like that energy, right? I think that's like what. So for me now, I'm not saying I have no ego, but my ego is getting jobs done, getting my getting shit done.
In control, you're in control,
like that, you know. So it's fine. I'm still competitive. We play basketball. We are really competitive. We want to win games all the time. But after that, I don't like. Wow, how can I miss that shot? Mm. Back then, when I was younger, I mean, using sports, right?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
How can I miss that shot? You know, I will blame myself.
Even not just work, right? This is just like
life. Anything, you go home and like, you beat yourself over, like, how can I miss that easy layup, like for basketball?
Yeah,
how can I not run faster than my friend? Mm. So, but now, I don't care. You know, like, I mean,
You laugh it off. Laugh it off.
Correct. So.
Yeah. There was once I got so angry. The one time I got so angry, I was literally shaking and tearing up.
Oh.
Like,
what was the issue?
Yeah. But the issue
Let's
was
not
that.
Talk about it. It's one of those things.
But yeah, no, it was just one of those things.
Did you have someone to talk about it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You need.
I was so ready to type. But he tried to threaten me also. Like, I know a lot of people in the industry. I can ask, like, oh, are you kidding me? And I was just like fuming and tearing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
sure.
That's the one time I ever was so angry and I was just like tearing. I was just like, but it wasn't a set. It was just I was so angry.
Angry,
so
right?
That it's like,
Wow,
that was the one.
Why is racism and this massacre?
It was basically all of that.
Yeah.
In short.
And also because it's women in the construction industry, like men, my ass.
Of course.
Hard. No disrespect to men, but
But I feel like speaking of like women in the industry, speaking of feminism and stuff like that in general, people have asked all these questions, right? Because you know the recent times. I just feel like I've never really got affected.
It doesn't affect
that way. It doesn't really affect. No, as in, like, I've never been, not even in the industry, I don't feel it at all. Which is great.
Yeah, I only had that one client.
One client,
Mine's that one client also. Yeah, which is
also.
I'm sorry, my client was.
See? Entitled.
No, it really, it was an entitled. Then you want to use Chinese things and then you want to insult me and say all your friends insult me. Basically, he said that all his friends insulted me. And the illustration, it wasn't just me. My friend helped me with it also.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's what you wanted. You wanted Chinese.
Don't you realize something?
You want to.
Clients don't know what they want. Even when they verbalize, you give them so many robots, right? You do it already. Oh, actually, then they change.
You know what he did? He asked for money back.
What?
I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow. You think about 90-day buy-what guarantee, sell a vision, you know, money-back guarantee.
But that was very bad. That was very bad. That was like my worst experience ever. But
wait, and all of you work for yourself, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Right, all of us, I feel like, that's another thing. Like, people think, you're the boss, and you make the decisions. I feel like...
I always tell everyone, and everyone tells me that, I'm like, everyone's my boss. Dude.
Yeah. the balance between being the boss and then being the team leader, being the team's friend, and the you know, whatever, like, all of it, it's also actually very tiring. And of course, making the overheads meet every month.
Mm, of course. Yeah.
You know, there's something that I discovered recently that would help so much, make my life so much easier.
Okay.
No. Having an artist manager wants to be my partner as well.
As in like pump in money?
Pump in money, earn his own money, does production, owns the factory, and does all the negotiations with clients for me.
So you don't talk.
So you were doing that yourself this whole time?
I was doing, and then, so that helps so much because I just talk to him. Yeah. He's someone that I like and I keep talking to him. And I just tell him, I'm not feeling it, man. I finally get to say, I'm not feeling it, man.
Then
can you tell?
Helping me,
and he's like, and he enjoys doing it. So it's like, wow, if you find
this is balance. I mean, back to your thing, that's a balance.
I found balance through another person.
Who and that person takes away his emotion. You know what I mean? He's the bad cop. He's the bad cop. He's a good cop. Something like that. So meaning he doesn't have to deal with the emotional part of lousy client.
Yeah.
If you want to label them like that, right?
And he bitches to me, and I support him.
Yes. Do lousy clients know that they're lousy clients? That's the other thing I ask myself. Like, maybe when you do this to people, do you all realize that what you're doing?
Of course not.
Maybe they're not lousy. They're just demanding clients.
Mm. Yeah, but do they not know that they're asking for more than what they pay for?
No.
Sometimes I also don't understand that.
No. I think when people have money, when people pay you for a service, they feel like they're entitled to ask for 100 things.
But
why? You know?
Because I'm not like that.
But that's why you're not a lousy client.
Yeah.
or maybe you're what? I don't know.
See,
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, on to the next topic, which is then I think probably giving out advice to people.
I like to share what we talk about, but sometimes I think other people might need this piece of
benefit in their own way.
Yeah, 100%. In their own way. Yeah, like.
That's the point of the podcast, you see, for people to take away what they need.
So
it's not about, we're doing so well.
Not at all.
Look at us, but really just about being real and open and vulnerable and honest. And of course, sharing, I think all of us are different trajectories in our career right now, all at different places. So it's good to just sit down and talk about it. Because if you didn't bring that up, I would have totally not talked about that part, the emotion side. Which actually gravely affects me, actually.
Emotion is very important in what we do, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever at home, never mind. I know that's home.
Because as an artist, as a creator, as a designer, you want to put out what you really believe in.
Yeah.
But sometimes time doesn't allow you, budget doesn't allow you, or all these things,
Oh.
We treat our work too much like our babies. That's why you feel more emotional about it. Versus you make, if you're selling a bottle of water, I'm sure you put effort into it, but it doesn't affect you so. It doesn't affect you so much.
Mm.
But this is because you are painting something, designing something, you are making a big project about something. It's very personal.
Mm.
Therefore, I think whenever anything small might impact you emotionally, I feel versus if you work in a burger, or in a factory or something, that I think is very different, from that. Mm. Yeah.
The other day we were on the panel talk at SneakerCon and it was, I think either you or Jeff brought it up. We said how do you balance things they like to do and stuff for money?
Who asked this question?
I think you asked us.
And then I spoke to you about this before. It's like it's the same as having a bag of tricks, having a bag of tricks and. I brought this up. So learn to like more things.
Yeah.
That's also true.
Be more open-minded because that's also part of our jobs as creatives.
Okay.
Right?
No, please expound on that. Learn to like more things.
Because if you are pigeonholed into doing one style and you only like the ones, you're so
rigid.
Rigid. That's it. Why not try to like more things?
Mm.
Right? Be more, a bit more experimental. It's I don't like mumble rap. I only like, old school hip hop.
Oh, no, I know exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
Don't be too purist.
Don't be too purist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but can I ask the alternative? I like too many things.
Me
also. I like too many things. We like so many things that I'm like, I don't know what's my style.
Oh, then narrow it down. Then do the opposite. You need the balance on the other side.
Yes.
I'm like, I only like a few things.
I like so many things. I'm like, oh my god, I like style. I like realism, but I also want to draw fun things, like cartoony stuff, but then I don't want this. So
no, but you need to know what is for fun and which one you should focus on for work.
Maybe your style is to like everything and try to define that as your style, your expression.
So basically, okay, so like I've had this with many clients, right? They're like, I want you to do this in your style. Then I do it in the style that I thought would fit this. They're like, not this one, the other style. They're like,
then must ask, which one?
But then I like so many styles, and then I do so many styles.
So you already have a bag full of tricks.
Yeah.
Do you want to use that thing that you want to be as like a service, or do you want it for yourself only?
I want it for myself first. And then it can be of service. It's like how you started, right?
Yeah.
It was for your passion and you like it, you did it, then it became a service to people. I have that bag full of tricks for commercial work, but I want my own thing where eventually...
But really, nobody can help you.
I know, like, because you didn't really it's so I get it. No one can help, so I need to like find my thing. That's my one issue.
Wow, you're actually not happy with what you have.
Yes.
No, but I'm happy with it in terms of what I can do for myself, in terms of financial with balance.
Right,
this balance is great. But I just want something that's my baby.
Can I suggest something similar to what you said in more, I mean, simple format? Is, you know, going to a restaurant, that if they can offer like 1,000 things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. Like, you're going to move on, but it's very hard to order because you're like, I don't know what's good.
I actually find very difficult ordering like that type of Japanese restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, 15 people.
Yeah.
So therefore, I feel like you don't need to be so specialized, like only serve udon, but you can be, for example, like your top five dishes. You know, that is your go-to five dishes. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's like a good start. And you, whatever you do at home is like, if you're in your home cook, you can cook whatever you want, but you're not serving to the customer.
Mm.
So that's for your passion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you can keep that, I think the most important is to narrow down, like, what are your go-to five?
No, but I don't think that whatever you're doing is also part of you.
It is.
You just need to keep doing them and
narrow it down.
You cook whatever you like at home.
Yes.
Yeah. Feel someone say, wow, I saw on Instagram you can cook ramen too. Can you do it? And then you go to Mark Street. Sure, you pay premium, I'll make you ramen.
Something like that.
Okay, something slowly.
Something like that, lah.
I feel like personally, I find it very hard to juggle between, because I want my team to, you know, money and then all this stuff, right? The overheads every month. Between that and saying no to clients that I don't really like, I find it actually really, really hard. So personally, I'm finding trying to find that balance is difficult for me. But what I've been trying to do is exactly what you're saying earlier, to remove the emotion and a little bit of what you're saying earlier, to stick true to my own passions and hope that. Because last year I said yes to everything and I really hated my work.
That's me.
This year I've been saying no to more things and saying yes to the clients that I actually want to work with.
Yeah.
We make less money
for
now, but I'm really hoping that the work should show for it.
Yeah, people are watching, you see. So people are like, hey, I want that too.
That's true.
Because
you don't know who's watching.
Because that's what I did. So like, I was like, a few years I was just like, no, I don't want to do this. I'm lame. I mean, I was like young and foolish that time. But it actually helped being like really, really focused about what I want to do. And I keep dropping hints, project after project. And then slowly, clients were like, hey, I want that. Then like, okay, do. Do until you're sick and tired of it. And you evolve and you just drop more hints along the way.
Leave but I think what
crumbs.
He says makes sense. Because it's like, you know, it's taking a little bit by bit to show your goals.
Like, got one time, I don't want to, I hated painting sneakers. I was so sick of it. Then I start to paint sign painting. I did sign painting.
Yeah.
So I was enjoying it, but no clients.
Yeah.
So, but just look for friends. Like, go to Mandit, bro, paint sign for you, bro. Mm. Like, how about, I do this amount of sneakers for you, but you pay
two
me
signs.
For two or three signs.
Mm.
Like, just small things. Then, like, slowly people start to think, to look at it, and then they hire me for that. But I'm over that now, I say.
What era are you in now? What's your phase?
Oh, I don't
like,
really
what do you
know.
Enjoy doing most at this point outside of playing basketball?
That's it.
Okay. During COVID, I started another brand. I started a new project, and it was a totally different expression, and I got to enjoy that so much during COVID. So it was a very good like reset button. And then now I'm back to Sabotage again. So I was like, split personality. Like,
that's good. Then it gets to balance. Sometimes you get sick of one thing, right?
Yeah. And I actually get collabs for both right now. So
That's great.
Right? Yeah, not
different
bad.
Different brand.
Yeah. So you can.
Different yeah.
Brand. So I started a like a vintage sneaker style thing, doing accessories and stuff. Mm. And I started a brand without showing my face.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Foxtrot.
Yeah.
You can do that too.
Doing it, right?
You can name yourself something else. You can be whoever you want to be without telling anybody and like, wow, people.
Yeah.
But that's a good way to find your niche, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you don't have your face out there to be.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you put your face to your brand, they relate that artwork to your face, you know, forever.
So this one
you can say, I have no face. But I show you another side of my work.
Yeah. You don't say it's you.
Anything, right?
Yeah.
And then I think that is easier because you can branch out and do different things.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun for me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So if you want to know what we're drinking today,
not sponsored.
It's not sponsored by.
Yeah, it's not sponsored.
Freshly juiced orange juice
from
our team behind the camera.
Behind the camera.
And some soda. And a little bit of alcohol, dropping hints.
Yes, you could fill in all these blanks.
And with that, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to us.
Thanks for coming on the podcast and making time for us today, even though they have a flea market tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes. And thanks, Tiff, for coming. She's here all the time, so don't thank her, actually.
Sad. I just bring the popcorn.
Thank you for asking all the questions I love.
Yeah.
No,
it's very insightful, so thanks for sharing.
It's very insightful.
Okay, thanks, guys.